Gonna get in the car with a smile and the burn that I put on my arm the day you went away, girl, and I probably won't come back around again.
Hey guys, welcome to Local Roots this week. Thank you for tuning in. We have something kind of cool, but it's also like a major audible. So you might have noticed that Brian is not here, and he's actually sick, and he doesn't know why he's sick or what's going on there, but fingers crossed that it's just a tummy ache. Anyways, I was going to bore you with a solo episode, or I couldn't get a guest in time either, so I'm not going to do that. But what I did discover is Brian and I actually did an episode that we only hosted like a video version of it. So I thought, you know, why not release that, because it was a good episode. So I'm going to go ahead and throw to that episode. We probably reference that this is a video only episode. Well, ignore that because it's no longer a video only episode. So yeah, if you are friends with Brian or whatever, send him a get well soon. Another cool little update here. We just got a new sponsor for the podcast. So if you guys have ever heard of Blender Eyewear, pretty cool sunglasses brand. Brian and I have just bought them on and off for basically since they've existed. They're kind of perfect because they're like really, really cheap, but they don't feel cheap. So I don't know. I lose every single pair of glasses that I own. Like I just got these super sick 100% polarized badass like $200 glasses. I think I wore them twice and just lost them. So I don't know. Blender has kind of always been a relief because you get these nice glasses, you can wear them, and if you lose them, all of them are like I think under $100. They're like between like 50 and 100, and like yeah, it sucks to lose them, but at the same time, you're not like super devastated because you spent a ton on them. So I actually just went ahead and ordered like two more pair of those, and that should get me through the rest of summer. I think Brian got a couple that are coming too. So anyways, if you want to check out their website, go ahead. It's blenderseyewear.com. And if you want to help support the show, next time you buy glasses from them, use our promo code. It's linked in the description, and I guess I can also just tell you it. It is LocalRoots16, and what that's going to do is get you 16% off. Now, you're going to be tempted. You're going to get to the website, and it's going to say 15% off, message us now, and all this stuff. Don't do it. Use ours. It's cooler. And it really does help support our show. The way the sponsorship's working is we are just getting a small cut of all of the sales that are made. So if you want to help us out, I say so much. That's like the number one thing you're supposed to not do when you do public speaking. Oh, well. Anyways, I did it again. Shoot. Anyway, long story short, we're trying to build up some merch. We're trying to build up our website. So any little bit of support that comes from checking out these new shades helps us. So please do that. And if you don't want to, you don't have to. That's about it. Yeah. Check out some cool sunglasses. That's probably all I have to say about that. Let's go ahead and throw to the episode. Thanks, guys. All right, welcome back. Well, I guess welcome for the first time. This is the first time filming. I guess we'll call it like a LRP mini. How do you like the sound of that?
Welcome to Local Roots Podcast Mini.
Oh, God, that sounds good, dude. Oh, man, that's great. So, I mean, as people can see, I'm in the Local Roots studio, if you will. I'm going to like fake Brian on this side of the screen. So it's just like you're here with me, Ryan. Does that sound good?
Absolutely. We're practicing social distancing.
This is what 2020 is all about. Social distancing at its best.
Ooh, absolutely.
Were you mid-sip as I said that?
I was.
So before we dive into today, I just want to remind everyone that This is usually a audio podcast. You can check us out on Apple Music, Spotify, Overcast, Pocket Cast, name it, we're there. It's a really fun podcast hosted by Brian and myself. It's called Local Roots Podcast. It's all about mountain bikes, which is going to be what we're talking about today. Craft beer. I think we might get into that too. And then, you know, all things mountain sports. So snowboarding, you know, we're just shredheads.
Shredheads. I like it.
This way.
So yeah, we're here giving this video version of the podcast a go, and I think we have a really cool subject to talk about today. Spring is here, my man. Am I right or am I right?
Spring is here. As I'm looking out these windows, the sun is looking wonderful after we just scattered to move this podcast inside after it was set up outside.
April showers, am I right?
Hey, look at that.
It's funny. I hear like the birds coming in from your end. It sounds pretty nice over there. It's like tranquil.
It is. Yeah. It's looking good. It's just wet.
I'm going to go ahead and, ooh,
put my hand.
Oh God, that went everywhere.
Put hands in pockets. I don't know.
Oh shit.
Ooh, yummy. We're a mess. Brian's knocking his bike over. I'm spilling my Miss Mango from Rockford Brewing all over the place.
Ooh.
What are you sipping on, Brian, man?
I'm sipping on the Dogma from Rockford Brewing.
Yeah.
This is their New England. I have bought, I don't want to talk about how many four packs to go.
a couple, right?
A couple, too many. Actually got one today.
I got to ask, I know we're both Mug Club guys there. Do you get any sort of discount on those four packs that you buy every day?
No, but I haven't asked, so that might be a good thing for me to do.
I love it. Like, you're that dedicated. You're like, well, if I can't use my Mug Club, I'm still gonna get their beer every day. Yeah, somehow.
I do. Well, this is one of my all-time like favorite beers.
I haven't tried it, man.
It's
like
in my top three New Englands. It doesn't look hazy at all when you pour it, but it tastes like, oh my, it's so good. It's awesome.
I'll have to give it a try. Well, people are probably wondering, hey, why is this doofus standing in front of his damn bike?
Why are we here?
In the middle of his living room? We have a pretty cool subject today. As we mentioned, it's spring. People are probably bike shopping.
So, yes, they are.
I want to talk about, you know, how to go about knowing if it's time to buy a new bike, or maybe you can get through one more season. Some things to look for: should you buy used, should you buy new, and then also maybe talk a little bit about our bikes. So I couldn't bring mine into like the basement studio down here, but Brian brought his Scott Scale 95DXR 87,000. Yeah, get into it, man. Tell me more about that bike of yours.
I lost you there for a second, Larry. What's up?
Get into it, man. Tell me a little bit about that bike of yours.
So this bike I bought at the beginning of last year, right? Yeah, I bought it in the winter. Actually, it was in the middle of the giant snowstorm we had. So it was like, instead of
the
quarantine.
The snowpocalypse.
Yeah, instead of quarantine, it was a snowpocalypse. So you couldn't leave your house for 2 weeks. And we did, so I could go buy a bicycle. I got it from then Speed Merchants bike shop in Rockford, which is now the Rockford Bike Shop.
Sure.
I went from a Specialized, just super base rock hopper. It had a gnarly candy apple S green.
Super bass sounds like a rap song.
Super bass.
I love that. That's cool.
I did put a different fork on it, so I got a little bit better, but the thing still weighed, I don't know, upwards of probably 35 pounds, and there was no hydraulic. It was, I think, a 3x7, if that sounds right. Does that sound what a triple chainring drivetrain is, Larry?
Yeah.
3x8?
I always thought a Bax cassette had, like, seven or eight. Right.
Yeah.
Because it's like a 21 speed usually, so probably seven.
Oh, yeah. Good call. All right.
Arithmetic, whatever.
Yeah, there you go. But I loved it. It was awesome. It got me into mountain biking. It has three races into it. Had a Mud Sweat.
Damn.
It had a Peak to Peak, and it had Iceman. So that's cool.
That's enough to, like, honestly, like, that was, I'm almost surprised that bike lasted three races, which it barely did,
it
right?
Barely
especially
did.
Those three.
yeah, peak to peak of 2018 was rough. It was muddy. I think it was worse than this past year's Iceman. It was Nardog. Not great.
It was wild.
I wouldn't shift, wouldn't brake. I couldn't clip my feet. Nothing worked. That grips even were like coming off. I was like, oh my God.
Hey, you know what? We're on YouTube right now, so I'm going to point up here. Cause I can link a video of that freaking race. I filmed it. It's right there. Go watch it.
Here? Or right here?
Sure. I can't really see where you're pointing, but you gotta be pretty close to the neighborhood of where it's linked.
I think it's here. Right there.
It's gotta be one of those.
I'm not in the frame. Am I close to being in the frame?
Yeah, kinda. I mean, you're in, but like you're half in.
Yeah, I wanna be half. Is my face in though?
This is why the people come to the pod, to see two doofuses try to figure out technology.
Half right in. Here. Okay.
Half in. Story of Brian's life. I'm on fire over here.
Oh, goodness. Okay. This intro racing, I decided that I wanted to be naughty and get a new bicycle.
But it started with you wanting to be naughty.
And I landed on the 2018 Scott Scale 930, which is a carbon hardtail. It's got the Fox Rhythm fork, which is one of the first bikes, I think, to come with the Fox Rhythm fork. It's an OEM fork. I know Fox was planning on releasing it so that you could purchase it aftermarket, but I don't know if it's out yet.
Do you know what the closest Fox fork that is like related to that you could buy?
I don't know that there is one, because it's kind of Fox's entry level. So I know when it does go on sale to the public, it's going to be like, you know, in between like the $400 and $500 range. Whereas I don't know, I think Stepcast probably starts at what, 7 or 8.
They're up there, yeah. I've seen them for like $700 at like the cheapest, I want to say. Maybe like a used one for like $500 on like the marketplace or something. But
yeah,
that's gone in a second if it is. So
right. I know it's not the Stepcast weight-wise. The damper is different. It has the Grip 2, I think, damper in it. But as far as like the performance wise, it's pretty close to the other Fox products. It's just not as light, but it's still like light years lighter than what I was using. So I think it's pretty badass.
So that, the lockout or like the motion control, is it one? So I just got a new one for the first time that I realized can do like variable like steps. So like it's not just like locked out or not locked out. It can like ramp up. It's called like the motion control. Is that what yours has?
You've got RockShox, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that similar to what yours has?
This has lockout. It's got, yeah, kind of, but it has three different settings. So you've got like full open, and then what they call trail, and then what they call probably, you know, it's full lockout.
I almost like that better, because mine probably has like 8 that you could click through, and it's like, I don't know. What's the difference between like 4 and 6? Like, I just want like a middle one, a fully locked out, and then like all the way open.
Yeah.
That seems to make more sense.
I love it. I use it a lot more than because when I first got it, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool, because my old bike, you could lock it out and stuff like that. But I wouldn't, by the time I thought like, oh, wow, I should have locked my fork out, I'm already going downhill. And I was like, okay, it didn't even matter.
Yeah, it's too late.
When I do remember, I'm like, shit, going really fast and I need to open my fork up, but nope, we're just gonna go like this really hard the whole way down. So this is nice. It's just right on the lever, you just boom boom boom, so that's sweet. Yeah, my only gripe about it is that, being that it was a newer fork, that there wasn't a ton of like maintenance info on how to like mess with it yourself. So
It's probably for the better, because I know you and I, when we're messing with stuff ourselves, about 50% of the time, that ends up with us at the bike shop.
100% of the time is me at the bike shop. So that's, but just if, you know, I thought maybe if I did want to service it myself.
No, that's good to have, like, something proven and that you can, like, Google stuff. Hey, that's kind of why we're talking about this today, is we couldn't really find a lot of info on your bike online. So we figured let's share that, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I would say the fork is, for like, 10 out of 10. It's awesome.
Nice.
There's really, it took a little bit for me to set it up correctly. I feel like the RockShox ear fork I had before it, it was an older one. It was, I don't remember what it was. But that I felt was a little bit more forgiving, where this one I really have to have the rebound setting correctly and the air pressure set correctly for different kind of terrain. It's really sensitive to that. But once you have it set, it's awesome.
That's good to hear.
So have you messed with your compression or your air settings yet on your fork?
You know, out of the box, it was like just so night and day from my, I had a RockShox Judy and now I have a Yari. And it's just like so much better than that old Judy that like I haven't even cared to try to fine tune it, because it's just like that much better. Like I could probably spend some time and get it even better than it is now. But just in comparison to what I'm used to, it was like out of the box, just like, okay, game over. This is awesome. Yeah.
Well, Rockford Bike Shop set it up for you pretty good too, right?
That's true. It could have just been that they're that much of the pros of knowing they exactly what I needed and hooked me up.
This is also a episode to plug Rockford Bike Shop.
Yeah, man, cool guys over there.
They really are. George and Kate just opened it up. They've got awesome help from Craig and Scott and Brady. Good crew. Go check them out. They sell Trek and whatever leftover Scots they have left.
Right. So getting back into your bike a little bit, what kind of gear set are we working with there?
Gear set? We just
group
got,
set. Sorry.
Group set is just the SRAM NX. This came out before the SX was a thing. So it was still the entry level for getting into their mountain bike one by. I haven't had any problems with it. It shifts flawlessly. I think after this year's Iceman, my shifter was a little sticky, probably from all the gunk and blood and tears of mine that poured
if
into it.
If that's all that was bad with your bike after Iceman that this year, bad. I think you're okay. That's pretty lucky.
That and I think brake pads, but that was it. I don't know. All right. I'm super lucky.
I think while we're on the subject, like I think I've had NX and I've had GX, and so my first bike was NX11, upgraded the derailleur to GX, really no difference. I think it's like a little lighter, but
you kept your NX cassette and NX shifter though, right? When you got the GX derailleur.
So I never had an NX cassette actually. It was a Sunrace one.
Oh, really?
But then when I upgraded it, I got a GX.
You threw the GX cassette on there. Okay.
Yeah, if I recall, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But now I'm NX Eagle, back down to NX, which is totally fine. Honestly, especially if you're not doing anything hardcore, you don't care about your weights, NX is going to do the job. I bet even that new SX is probably just fine too.
I bet it's fine too. It might be a little less durable, a little heavier. But even feeling like your shifter compared to my shifter, it feels a lot different.
Interesting. Okay.
So, but no, I
so
don't
the
have,
Eagle NX Eagle shifter is different than the 11 shifter.
It might be. Yeah.
It's gotta be a little, right?
Yeah. Well, you've got, you know, one more gear in there too, but, it
interesting.
Might be a little bit newer, you know?
So what about that frame on that bad boy? You went full carbon, which is crazy to think of, like your second bike ever. You're like, you know what? I'm going all in. Let's go carbon, baby.
Yeah. I was very pumped to go carbon, and I'm still very pumped to go carbon, and I'm always excited because it feels cool. But the frame is Scott's lower level. So Scott has three different levels of carbon. They have HMF, HMX, and then I don't know what their higher level is, but this one is their most durable while also having one of the most like compliances to it. So it still, it flexes a lot. And once you go a step up, it's lighter, still compliant. And then once you get up to their highest level tier, it's like super light, but there is like very, very little compliance to it. So I know that like, you know, Schuster doesn't even use the high level because he likes the flex in it. So that just makes me feel cooler that he likes the flex that this one has because he's professional.
It's good, like, yeah, buy, like, an anti-buyer's remorse thing, just knowing Absolutely. That a pro's out there using your, like, bike. You're like, yeah. Well, if it's good enough for him, then good yeah, enough. It's good enough for good me. Enough yeah. for me.
What's cool about it, though, is that, so this is, the seat tube's curved. So the seat tube itself flexes a little bit, even if you didn't have a carbon post in there, because your seat post only goes till about here. And these super, super thin chainstays allow the seat post to actually flex a little bit. The carbon flexes. So you'll feel that when you're sitting on it. And the other cool part is that the actual chainstays do flex as well. So the wheel is moving a little bit along with that seat post to give you a little bit more comfort.
So it's absorbing a couple of the blows when you're like going over roots and whatnot, but then maintaining some power on the downhill.
Yeah, it's really cool. So a lot of gravel bikes are now looking into being super, super compliant. So, I mean, the one that I think of the most is the Cannondale Topzone Carbon. Has this really nifty, like, suspension thing in the back, but it only allows, like, bend for the seat tube. So when you're standing on that Cannondale, even though the bike is flexing, you're not feeling it because it's still stiff as a rail from your crankset back to your wheel. Whereas this is actually going to move a little bit. So that's cool. It's comfortable. Can I notice it? Honest to God, I don't know. It's more comfortable than my old bike was, but I can't tell that my back wheel is able to flex a little bit. I don't know.
Okay. Well, hey, if it feels better to you, I think it's kind of like the same jump from my fork from your old bike to this bike, like how I was saying, like, you know, anything would have felt better. Like, you went from like the most intro specialized bike basically that they make other than the Pitch, I think, to you know, carbon Fox fork, like, hey, look at me, let's do this thing.
Yeah, I love it. It's got the, I don't know what the brake spec is on it, but they're Shimano Hydros. They're not too crazy fancy, but I haven't had any adjustments with them in like a year and a half. I think the only thing that's needed was one of them needed a little bit more oil. So that's cool, because I really hate messing with brakes because they're a pain in the ass. The bike comes in at around, I think, stock, like, just out the box, it's like 24.25 pounds.
And that's light, damn.
It is light. And since I've got it, it is now tubeless. Tires are probably about the same. I have an S-Works tire in the back, but a super beefy front tire, so I think the weight difference there kind of evens out. I did put carbon bars in seat posts, which made it a little bit lighter.
More are so those your only upgrades then, the seat post and the bars?
Yeah, just seat post, bars. Okay. I mean, grips and saddle, but those are just personal preference stuff.
Cool. Well, so the other thing we were going to, well, I guess I don't want to shift you off unless you have any like final words. I'll let you get like your final thoughts in about the bike here. But I kind of want to talk about just like what to look for. When is it time to buy your new bike? Like, do you go all in? Do you get like an intro bike, then a medium bike, and then like go all in on something carbon and crazy? So I want to start talking about that. But before we get into it, like, do you have any like last words about if you could do this decision again, would you pick that same bike, and or would you pick like the big brother or little brother version of that? What would you say?
I would hands down pick the exact same thing.
Okay.
I absolutely love it. I'm not really desiring anything more out of it. Like, the only thing I've really put on it are just bars and seat post. That's partially just being bored in the middle of winter wanting to do bike work.
sure.
And it's, for me, it's awesome. It's honestly probably, you know, too much bike almost.
Which is great. Something to grow into. Yeah, that's what you should get if you're buying a new bike. I mean, that's one thing I'd recommend, is something that you can grow into so you're not buying another bike every single year.
Yeah, absolutely. If I would never, I will never ever buy another hardtail unless this breaks, then I would look into getting whatever this the newer Scott scale is. I love the geometry. think our friend Evan was like, you know, buy a bike that you feel like you're in, not on. And this, I feel like you're just like, it's like you're in it, you're good to go.
I like that.
Super comfortable. It didn't take me terribly long to get used to the bike. Yeah, I love it and it's great and I would do it again.
I think I'll add, because I actually considered your exact same bike because I just bought a new bike.
Yeah.
And I think even this year's is specced out a little bit beefier because you got the Eagle drivetrain on it. You got, I think the same everything else actually, but so it's like just, you get one more gear this year. So
yeah, go for you it. And get one more gear.
Under $2,000. You can't like complain about that.
Yeah,
at
which
all.
I think is wild. The price for this was, I think, like $24,900. So I don't know how they went from that to now, because what, the 930 starts at like $1,800,
like 18, which it's is crazy that's cheap. Nuts. That's the cheapest carbon hardtail I think I could find out there.
Yeah, and that still comes, I think that comes in at 25 pounds, so it's heavier than mine is. But I think it's just because that cassette adds a little bit more, and I think they cheaped out on the tires this year, because this did come with really bitchin' Maxxis Icons. And they were awesome, but they worn through them, and they're expensive, hence why I don't have Maxxis Icons on here again. But
right on.
So yeah, Leary, what, you know, you just bought a new bike.
Mm-hmm.
What pushed you to go balls out for a new bike instead of keeping the Timberjack?
I'm glad you asked this because it's something that I weighed a lot. So
did you? I don't remember you thinking about it.
I think I might even dive in more on the actual podcast, but for the sake of this video, it came down to one thing, and it's when you're buying at the level of like a, I'm going to call it like a forever bike almost. Like obviously in a couple years, I'll probably upgrade, but my bike before this was that Salsa Timberjack, which is a pretty nice bike. It's like, you know, $1,100, $1,200. It's like perfect to get you through about any trail, especially here in Michigan. But, you know, it has a couple miles on it. I was going to have to put some new tires on it this year. I was maybe going to upgrade to Eagle drivetrain. I really wanted that. And all the things I wanted to upgrade on that bike made me think, wow, I could probably just sell this and then buy a new one for the exact same price. So sometimes you find those like two or three features that you know you want, and then it's worth like kind of weighing like, well, if I already love this frame and I just want to upgrade it, go for it. Do that. I recommend it all day long. But if there's something maybe, you know, new you want to try, which my case was, I sold that bike and bought a new bike and it was about probably only $100 or $200 more than it would have been to, put that upgrades into my old bike. So essentially that's what I'd do if I was in my case. And that's going from like that mid-level bike to a high tier bike. Like I finally have like, you know, a really nice fork, a really nice frame. Not that the other frame was that bad, but I feel like I can be on this bike for the next couple of years and be more than happy with it. But Brian, I kind of want to ask you, like, when you're picking out that first bike, are you going to a bike shop or are you buying used? Maybe for that first bike and that second bike, like, is there a price point that, like, once you hit like X dollars, you got to go to the bike shop versus try to find some used versions of that?
I think it really depends on your mechanical ability
and ooh, interesting.
the quality of shop that you would be going to all the time. So
okay, well let's start at that intro bike. I kind of gave you like the most complex version of that question. So let's say you're buying that first bike, you probably don't want to spend more than $500 or $600. I know what you did, but we both took different routes. So would you go back in time and still buy a new bike?
For my first bike?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I definitely wouldn't have bought a bike from the bike shop that I did.
It was just the bike shop that you went to. It was the first bike, right? Like the first shop you entered?
It was, yeah. I didn't really shop around a whole lot. It was the bike that Rockhopper, it was like dirt cheap. Like it was crazy cheap.
You got it for under $400, right?
Yeah, and they traded. Yeah, they that's let a me steal. Trade in like an old bike I had, and they gave me like a couple hundred bucks for it. And I was like, oh my god, yeah.
Oh let's wow. Do
it. So it was like a no brainer there. The shop was all that I bought it from was also really close to my work, and I was like, oh, this is great. This is just this is what bike shops do. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I would never want to hang out with these people, I don't think. But like, yeah, they can work on my bike, and I'll buy stuff from them. And okay, cool. This is what it is. I didn't know the bike culture in Grand Rapids. I didn't know really anything. But for like that purpose, it was fine for a long time. I would just drop it off. They'd fix it after work, things like that. It worked fine. But I would like, I upgraded the fork from that bike in the first like month and a half because it drove me nuts. And
like right away you noticed things that like you yeah. wish you didn't cheap out on, right?
Yeah,
like,
right away. And even your brother bought a new, more entry level bike, RIP before it got stolen. But on our like second bike ride, he's like, fuck, I hate this triple chainring in the front. Like, what the shit? I was like, oh, yours doesn't have that, does it? I'm like, no, I told you. Anyways.
Like right away wanted single speed. It's like,
yeah, there are certain things that you notice right away. So I recommend, if it's someone who is just like has a bunch of money, who probably I don't think is going to get into mountain biking, then I don't, yeah, just, you know, buy a cheap new bike to get into it. But if you are someone who likes outdoors, you really think you're going to like mountain biking, then I say either save up, get a better first bike, or your best bet honestly is probably to buy it used, and then that way you kind of have time to go explore different shops. When you have repairs, you can see how they treat you, how you vibe with them, and see what kind of shop you want to kind of affiliate yourself with, and then buy your next bike accordingly.
Yeah, there's like a whole culture there that a lot of people don't realize. Like once you buy your bike from a shop, you're like making, you know, sometimes a multiple $1,000 purchase that like that kind of like bonds you, you know. That's like,
oh, it super bonds you. Yeah,
think about it. Like you probably, it takes you like, I don't know, 4 or 5 months to spend that much at your local grocery store, and you do that, you probably are more loyal to your grocery store than, you know, a bike shop in some cases, where it should probably be the opposite.
Yeah.
Brian, I know the way you answered that, I knew you're like, Larry, that was the stupidest metaphor I've ever heard. And I know that because I started thinking the same thing right away.
Well, no, but I have loyalty to a certain grocery store. It's okay. Small. They know me. They say, hey, Brian, how you doing? And I'm like, hey, Sally, how are you? And I love it. It's great.
Yeah, that's cool. I guess I don't have that. I'm a little jealous. So for my answer to that, and maybe to kind of like bring everything full circle here, is if you look at that entry price and you know you're going to be riding a lot, like you're ready to hit the trail, like boom, today, you gotta go, I think, used and bump that budget up to about $600 or $700. If you think you're gonna like just very like once a week at the most, like really chill trails, sometimes doing other rides, maybe just go buy a new bike for that kind of same budget. But for $700 on like Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace, you can get something with that one by drivetrain usually. Yeah. You can get something with an air fork that's going to make your ride nice.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to find, you know, maybe even, I can't think of it.
What are you thinking? Stoppy bits, hydro brakes.
Thank you. Hydraulic. Yeah. Was nicer that what you were brakes. Thinking of? No, but that's better than what I was going to think of. Okay. But you're right. You know, that the difference when I moved from hydraulic brakes from mechanical brakes is like pretty significant. So those are probably the three biggies, you know, nicer brakes, that air fork, and one by drivetrain. That's, you know, that's what you need. Like, absolutely. Who cares if you have like aluminum frame? Because honestly, on that first bike, you don't need carbon. I promise you that.
No, you don't. And like most modern bikes now, I mean, a lot of the aluminum rides pretty damn good.
I just bought aluminum for my brand new, really expensive bike. And it's because, I mean,
it came in Cobra Blood.
It's A, because it's Cobra Blood, and B because
Cobra Blood.
I'm a bigger guy too, so if I wanted a lighter bike, I would, you know, just stop eating pizza every weekend. I don't need my bike to cut weight, because I could probably cut the weight faster than I, or at least cheaper than I could cut the weight on my bike.
Yeah, there you go. When you're buying your first bike, I'd say don't pay attention to the weight really of it. Like you're not really trying to go fast on your first, you know, your first, maybe you are, but you're not, you know what I mean? There's so much more to learn mountain biking than before going as fast as you can.
Very true. And, you know, I guess I will say some of the perks of like upping that budget at a bike shop. So if like you want to get that one by in the Air Fork and you can stretch your budget to, you know, about $1,200 is probably that entry point.
Yeah.
Sometimes $1,000 if you're lucky. Yeah. You can have the benefit of a bike shop who can fit it for you nicely, let you go on spins around the yard or whatever. Sometimes maybe even demo it at your local trail. You do get, you know, there's a reason why people buy it from a bike shop. So if you can and you have that budget for your first bike, I mean, definitely go to a bike shop. But if you're trying to squeak in that entry point, I gotta say, bump that budget to like $600 or $700 and then tear into Facebook Marketplace. Just like stalk it like a fox, because they go quick this time of year. Let me tell you, they go so fast.
Yeah, I'd say if your budget is $600, you are so much better off buying used.
I agree.
You're gonna get a much better bike. But when you are looking into getting your, you know, your second bike, I would like strongly recommend getting it from a bike shop. I've had really, really good. I mean, you might talk to someone else who's had a really shitty experience with a bike shop. But I've had like phenomenal experience with, it was Speed Merchants. Now they're Rockford Bike Shop. They're awesome. Hang out with them, have beers with them, not even like bike related stuff. They're just really cool people. And when you are buying bikes from them, it's like, you know, everyone saying, you know, drink local, shop local, things like that. And that's just like a super local thing that you can do.
Like the whole bike shop culture, like just biking culture, like, I mean, if you're watching this, you're probably already into mountain bikes and you're like, yeah. I mean, you already know how cool it is. Like, that's why you try it once and you're hooked. So, it's really cool. Brian, I don't know about you, but this is a long video. Like, this is, we're starting to hit our podcast flow where we're just getting into it and like ready to like buckle down for an hour or so. Okay. But I might steer you into asking if you have any last final thoughts on this.
Final thoughts on this.
We've talked about a couple things here.
Yeah, I'm going to give final thoughts on the bike.
Please do.
Scott Scale is awesome. It is unbelievably comfortable. It's light. Maintenance-wise, it has held up to some pretty gnarly crashes, some really, really shitty race conditions, and tons of miles. And it is phenomenal. Recommend. 10 out of 10. Next thing.
You'd probably say like perfect second bike, right?
Yeah.
Or if you have a big budget, like the really perfect first bike.
Don't get it for your first bike, but it's really good for your second bike. And like I said, I'm never going to upgrade to a different hardtail because this is just so comfortable. It's fast. The geometry is great when you're climbing, yet it's I have enough confidence for, you know, going downhill unless when I'm trying rocks at Merrill and I'm wiping out with you, Larry. But it's great. I love it. So kudos to Scott for that. That's great. Next final thoughts, Dogma beer. Also 10 out of 10.
Oh, one of my favorite beer. Beers of all time.
There it is.
Yeah. That's another big part of the audio version of the podcast. We're always, reviewing a beer every episode. We're big craft beer guys. We usually have the same beer that we review.
We do.
This time we both have the same brewery, our local favorite, Rockford Brewing. We're both Mug Club members there.
We are.
You know, hope to be back there someday when this all blows over. But yeah, I love this. I'm drinking the Miss Mango. I'll give it it's a Wise, right? I don't know if we've ever reviewed a Wise. Is that what it's called? Weiss. I'm gonna give it a 7 out of 10. Smart, it's pretty good.
Wise.
Oh, you wise guy, eh? All right, that was stupid.
Yeah, that was.
What do you rate your Dogma, man?
10 out of 10.
Wow, that might be the first 10 out of 10 on the pod.
It is. I mean, being local, it's totally, you know, it's a little biased for sure. But it's one of my all-time favorite beers. It is the New England, but it's not like super, super hazy when you pour it, which discourages me because I want my beer to look like extra pulpy orange juice. So this is, I was kind of like, yeah, it's not going to be as good, but it is phenomenal. Yeah, you can drink a lot of it. It's juicy. The flavor's there.
Is it pretty strong or is it like
no, kinda... it's also the reason why I like it a lot is because I think it's like 6.5%.
That's nice. But I feel like well, that's still out, pretty strong. I don't know, Brian. Yeah, that's tough.
It's a little strong. I feel like when I had it last year, it was 5.5%. Now this year it's 6.5. I don't know.
Okay.
but it is just, it's a great post mountain bike beer.
All right, man.
That's why I rate it. And finishing thoughts about if you are thinking about purchasing, you know, you're in the market for a new bicycle right now.
Okay.
Gotta support local shops right now. And
sure. Definitely. If they're open. I mean,
yeah,
there's some open, that aren't even allowed to operate. So you really, I mean, help them out as much as you can.
Yeah.
It's a weird time right now.
Right. Reach out at least, cause I know they can at least try and help you out with ordering bikes. Whereas Trek right now, if you go through a shop, they'll ship you a bike from Trek for free, but the bike awesome. Shop will still get your commission. I know Salsa, as I think Salsa's doing this, and I know
I think I got an ad for that, yeah. Okay. So good for them.
And I know Kona is doing that as well.
Very cool.
So I mean, yeah, buy your bicycle. I would almost say shop for your bike shop first, and then shop for your bike.
Whoa.
If that makes sense.
That's some good advice that you, I mean, I don't know if I've ever heard it, but it's like, it's pretty right on the nose. Like that's something pretty important.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're never planning on going to the bike shop, then it doesn't matter. But if you're going to probably be in and out, fix some shit.
You will be, I swear. Which brings me into kind of that, the one thing we didn't touch on is like going to Craigslist to buy like the cheapest mountain bike you can just to get into it. Know that, you know, the cheaper ones have more parts on it, right? They got probably 3 gears and a derailleur in the front.
Oh, yeah.
And the more parts on that bike means the more points of failure that you have. So the more points of failure that you have, the more trips to the bike shop. At least that's always been my case. So keep that in mind that you might be saving $100 or $200 now on buying that bike used or whatever. But let me tell you, you're going to put it right back into your local bike shop. So I guess that's good promo for your bike shop too.
I think so too. Yeah. Have you ever tried to adjust a front derailleur by yourself? It's fucking horrible.
I bet like so many people can relate to this. At least I'd hope so, because
like you said it right. Even my road bike, I spent an hour looking at it. I'm like, I'm watching YouTube. I'm doing all this shit. I'm reading stuff up. I'm like, oh, this is dope. Well, for a bike ride, oh, this is badass. Feels like a new bike. Rode it today. Feels like shit again. So I don't know.
Right. Leave it to the pros, my man.
I think so. Leave it to the people that, you know, it's their job.
Well, wrap anything else before? Yeah, I think so. You know, Brian, let's try to get people onto the podcast. Like, what's your favorite part about doing the podcast?
My favorite part of the podcast is being able to have your undivided attention, Larry.
Who, me? That's the sweetest thing you've ever said to me.
Yeah. You know, you're not lying. That's probably true.
Probably.
Right now, though, like in all honesty, it is super nice to do a podcast and just like hang out and talk.
For sure. I mean, it's just like we get to be ourselves and hang out and talk about all of our favorite things in the world. We pretend to know like we know a lot about it.
We do
and,
pretend
you know,
to know a lot about stuff we don't know too much about. Full disclosure.
You know, right. I was going to say, like, so even everything we've said in this video, like, please know that we don't take ourselves like too seriously. Yeah, this is pretty much our experience.
Yeah. I don't work for Scott. There's a lot of things I probably got wrong.
I paid full price for this t-shirt.
You know, I think this puppy actually came from Etsy. I think Alexa bought it for me.
Aw, what a sweetie.
Thanks, dude.
So yeah, give our podcast a shot. Like I said, we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We actually just had, you're finding us on YouTube, so you probably already know about him. His name's Biking with Bobo. He came on our episode. Yeah. I don't know if we like drugged him in his sleep, but for some reason
he agreed, came on. We don't know why.
He agreed to come hang out with us. So that was a great episode. Go ahead and check it out. I don't know. Yeah, like you said, it is great to just, you know, chat about bikes and boards and beers. I mean, please. What else could you ask for in life?
Yeah, I agree. And now I think even more so, Leader, you've been reaching out to a lot of people. Like, you got Bobo on there. We're meeting some really awesome people.
Yeah, we got some great guests lined up in the future too, so it's a great time to hop in.
Yeah, we had the guys from ConnectGR that were on. That was really cool. We had Bobo. Mm-hmm. Who's next? I don't know. Stay tuned.
Oh, I guess you're going to have to subscribe. All right, man. Well, thanks for taking time to do another pod with me.
For sure. For sure.
And then I guess if you guys like this video, I kind of want to be like, yeah, let us know and we'll keep doing it. But I don't know if we'll actually keep doing it.
I don't know if we'll keep doing it. I was going to ask you, I got to figure out a spot to look because I noticed that I keep like looking all around and I keep playing with like my pockets and stuff.
I will say,
I don't know what to do with my hands.
As soon as we can be within 6 feet of each other, we can do some more video stuff here because I think we got a decent setup. So
yeah,
that's our promise. Is
the
eventually
LRP cave is looking real rad.
Right. All right, man. I'll. I guess I'll see you next time.
I'll see you next time.
Bye.